Yeah, hey, how are you? Good to have you here.
Hey Shabri, so good to see you. Thrilled to be on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you so much for joining. It was good to see you recently at the Sales Innovation Expo, and I think that was the first time I saw you since the My Sales Coach and seeing the brand and the company launch and in real life and some delicious brownies, by the way. So thank you for those. But really good to see you and excited for our conversation today.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, those millionaire brownies go down so well. And it's always such a full circle moment when you bump into people like yourself, Shabri, who, like, I met you first way back at the start of my sales career, and I was on one of your sales training a couple of days. So it's such a full circle moment when we're on a new project and we're sort of bumping into each other again.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing and incredible to see your journey, which I'm really excited to unpack. So just I there's going to be probably very few people who haven't seen your name on LinkedIn because you do post some amazing content. But for those people who want to know a little bit more about your who Nia is and a bit more about your journey, it'd be great if we could start there.
Yeah, sure. And thanks so much for mentioning. I do my best to be loud on LinkedIn and on other socials. So I did what most salespeople did and went to uni and sort of, I wouldn't say fell into sales because I actively looked for a sales role, but I knew nothing about the world of SaaS, sales development and SDR. But I absolutely landed on my feet with my first sales role. I worked for a company called Refract, based in the Northeast, straight after doing a molecular biology degree, which was a bit of a random change. But worked for an amazing company who really cared about the success of salespeople. And I really enjoyed my time there as an SDR. I was super fresh out of uni at that point. I was 21. And after about 18 months, decided to retrain as a physio. So I did a master's in physiotherapy, which was great. I got to use sort of my science skills and develop lots of other skills that I also got from sales, which is like problem solving, speaking with people from all different walks of the world. And then after a year of that, I just missed the world of sales so much, and everything that came with it. And it was a perfect alignment between me having that feeling and the previous CEO from my first company, Refract, and a colleague that I worked with, Mark Akers, had come up with the idea for My Sales Coach. And it's something that I'm so passionate about, helping people to be as successful as possible in the world of sales. So join them as the first non-founding member and then worked my way up to team lead. So that's where I'm up to now. And in terms of non-work stuff, I am engaged. And after,
Congratulations.
thank you so much. So a lot of wedding planning, a lot of yoga in, and a lot of going to the gym in preparation for the wedding.
Nice, nice. Well, congratulations, because I don't think you were engaged when I last saw you. But amazing to hear about your journey from molecular biology to sales and then to physio and then back to sales. So it's clearly something that you're passionate about and something that you're obviously very good at as well. And we had Mark on the podcast a few episodes ago, actually, just when My Sales Coach launched the survey, which we'll dig into too. But I'm curious to dive into your journey from SDR to team lead, and one I can empathize with because that was the same journey that I did and how I got into sales leadership as well. So how have you found that transition? Because I think we get a lot of people who follow this podcast who either want to do that transition or in the process of doing that transition. So how has that been for you, out of interest?
I feel like it's been such a natural progression because when I was in my first SDR role, I got like such a thrill out of helping new members to be successful, taking it upon myself to coach new reps and share ideas. And that was picked up on, like, I've been super lucky to work for leaders who recognize those sort of qualities in their team. And people have always said, like, oh, you would be great in like in a leadership position. And that's definitely something I thrive off. So working for a startup company from sort of ground zero enabled me to, first of all, have the autonomy to set up the sales development function and ultimately learn how to do that, which is so exciting. And it was such a challenge, but I just loved every second of it. And then because I'd done that and I could create a process that was consistent, I knew how to get results, then I could start working on sort of harnessing these leadership qualities and learning to be an SDR leader. And I've been super lucky that I've had people around me who have done that multiple times and been super successful. So I could learn from these people of what does this role actually look like and how can I put my own stamp on it. So it's been a journey. It's been exciting.
That's amazing. And it does sound like whilst I don't know you that well, I can see that you do have that kind of natural leadership, that authenticity, which I think is so important. One of the things that you said was when you were in SDR, you really enjoyed sort of helping people, even though you weren't in that team lead role. And I think personally, I think it's really important that an SDR team lead or manager has done the SDR role themselves. And I think it was HubSpot that said 90% of SDRs would want their manager to have done that role themselves. So to me, I think that's one of the most important things. In your opinion, what do you think, who do you think is best for that role and who should make that shift and who shouldn't make that shift?
So I find it really difficult to comprehend somebody leading an SDR team who hasn't done that role before, because I really think you need that first-hand experience, firstly, to understand the challenges that come with the role, because it is hard out here and you only really get it if you've done that before. And it's having that authentic ability to empathize with your team of, you know, what the struggle is and the challenges are, to be able to get on their level and help them. But also it's part of your role to look at creative ways of booking new meetings, of standing out in a crowd. And how do you do that if you can't do the role? So in terms of qualities for an SDR leader, you've got to be able to do the role well. I feel like if you can't consistently book meetings, then how are you going to help other people to do the same? And ultimately, that inspires trust in your team as well. If you're alongside them, hitting the phones, looking at new creative ways of reaching out to people and standing out from the crowd. So I think being able to do the role, important, being creative so that then you can help your team to do the same. And also, everybody has an ego in sales. It's a thing, and it's being aware of it, and it's being able to put that to the side and basically lift your team up, because if they're thriving, you're thriving. And a lot of leaders are typically top performers in the past. So whilst that's great, because you want to be able to help your team to do the same, you need to be able to be like, put yourself to the side and lift your team up. And if you're somebody who has to be number one, then it's going to be tricky for you to sort of put that to the side and leave the ego at the door.
Yes. And I think that's the same with AEs. And I think that's the same with kind of any other individual contributor role. You know, I think being a manager in any role requires you to be incredibly selfless. But yeah. I think, as you were saying, I think it requires you to wear multiple hats. And maybe I'm slightly biased here, but I think an SDR manager has to wear more hats than other managers, and just because I think that you are often managing, coaching, training, hiring early career individuals, which I think does take a bit more of that patience and that time that you were just talking about. And I think one of the most important hats is coaching, which is, you know, where I guess my sales coach comes in. So I want to shift gears slightly to that and first talk a little bit about, in your experience, how much time do you think SDR managers should spend coaching, and then I guess from your insight into the survey, what are the realities behind that?
Yeah, so there's obviously a perfect world in how much time we would spend coaching. And the objective management group, I'm going to pull up a quote here. So the objective management group is, they have an assessment, which is the world's only professional, scientific, research-proven, validated assessment that's specifically designed for sales professionals. And that's been taken by nearly 2.4 million salespeople. And the reason that I bring that up is because they've benchmarked how much coaching they believe an SDR, well, they say an SDR leader should be carrying out in their working week. And they've said 50%. The reason that I bring that up is because I've had in my career super supportive sales leaders, one being Richard Smith at Refract/Allego, and currently Mark Akers. And they care about coaching so much, they would listen to calls in the bath, at the gym, on a run. Like, they are obsessed, to the point where Mark has literally built a company called My Sales Coach. But despite that benchmark number of 50% of your time should be spent coaching your reps, Mark actually took an OMG assessment, and that showed that he spent 25% of his time coaching. So it just shows that the perfect world is half of your time, but in reality, you can care so deeply about coaching your reps, but the struggle is there of wearing so many hats in terms of working on recruitment, onboarding, making sure that you're keeping your current team happy, all of the millions of things that come with being an SDR leader, that the reality is you do not spend as much time as you would like to coaching.
That blows my mind. I mean, 50%. I don't think I've ever had a leader who spent 50% of their time coaching me. But also, I don't think I've spent 50% of my time being a leader coaching my team either. I mean, that's extraordinary. And I know how passionate Mark is about coaching. So if he's doing 25, then it pains me to think what other leaders are doing. So what do you think, if you kind of break down the SDR role, what are some of the other priorities that that you're working on and that you think are sort of as important as coaching?
So in a team leader role, do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely hold coaching as the highest priority. It's the best way to support your reps to be as successful as possible. Importantly, it's working on, well, I mean, these things come onto coaching as well. So I'm going to say things like motivating your team, working on that mindset piece as well. But you need to be working on creative outreach. Like, I spend a lot of my time looking at different ways that where we can be booking meetings or standing out from the crowd, because if we've got a framework for our current SDRs and they're working away and that's working, we know how fluid like the market is and how something that works 3 or 6 months ago might not work in 3 or 6 months time. So we need to be constantly changing the game. So I take that as my responsibility to be looking at those different ways and those different ways of outreaching, so that then I can be like, hey, this is working for my team and you don't need to experiment because I've got it for you. So it's looking at that, but also working on recruitment as well, finding the best people to add to the team. And that can be a full-time job in itself, as we all know, finding great talent for sales teams, like, it's difficult. So yeah, that's a huge priority for us.
Okay. I mean, I think all of those things, and then there's so many others, it's hard to know where to spend the time on and how to move the needle. So I guess you and your team are speaking to companies and leaders all the time about essentially My Sales Coach. And what kind of feedback do you get when speaking to other leaders in other businesses when you're trying to talk about the importance of coaching and potentially bringing in My Sales Coach?
So in terms of like challenges that resonate with sales leaders, is that everybody knows in 2024 that coaching is the best way to support their team. It's the best way to work on retention. It's the best way to support their reps with any challenges that they know that there can be a conflicting role between being a manager and being a coach, and that reps don't necessarily want to be 100% vulnerable with their managers. Because why would you want to share your weaknesses with the person who basically has the fate of your career in their hands? So they get that. They also get that they're so time strapped, like we're just saying then, like the role of a sales leader is never ending. And unfortunately, the first thing to be pushed is sales coaching. And that resonates with sales leaders. They get that if they have an internal meeting with one of their reps, that they can push that back and that can be filled, and that can happen time and time again. And the other thing that resonates as well is that they have one-to-ones that they think they're going to be working on development, but at the end of the one-to-one, at the end of the pipeline reviews, at the end of the working on metrics and numbers, they just don't have any time left to work on true development. So they're just time strapped.
Okay. So is that, if you look at the challenge they're facing, I guess I'm curious to know what are the biggest objections you get for a solution like my sales coach?
An objection could be we do this internally. And I guess it's open for interpretation when people think that they're coaching, but is it actually coaching that they're doing? So
yeah.
An example of that is like deal reviews, pipeline reviews. That's not coaching. That's going through the CRM. There can be coaching moments within that, but ultimately it might make you feel like you're coaching your reps, but it's just a different thing. And that's why part of my role is education as well, of like, what is training, what is coaching, and what is a pipeline review? Because they're all different things.
And that's something that I used to see a lot, which was when to train and when to coach. Because I don't believe you can coach someone who hasn't had fundamental training, because coaching is about asking the right questions to elicit you to come up with the response yourself, right? And trying to get to the solution together. And if you don't have that fundamental knowledge, you can't do that. But what I see is people will either skip the training and move to coaching, or do the training and then there's no reinforcement or additional coaching on top. So it's you know, the two of those. And I think, you know, when I was at SalesWorks, we were the first to do SDR leadership programs. And one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we got from SDR managers, who were more often than not, you know, like you and I started, you know, gone from that SDR to SDR team lead. The biggest piece of feedback we got is, we don't actually know how to coach, right? So how did you learn how to coach and how to be good at what you're doing? Because I think we'll probably have people listening to this that think, I actually want to do this. I see the value in it, but I don't know how to coach. I was just an SDR 2 years ago.
Totally. That is something that I hear all the time. And that's something that VPs and C-suites recognize as well. They have people with great potential who want to step into leadership. They might already have that title, but they've never been taught how to be a great coach. So from my perspective, I have a coach to coach my coaching. So we have a head of coaches over at my sales coach who basically quality checks our coaching. And I have learned how to coach other SDR by working on frameworks with both my personal sales coach, our head of coaches, and our head of sales. And also I have been coaching our reps internally. And ultimately, that is quality checked by us internally. So whilst I have a personal coach for my own individual contribution, I also have somebody there who is helping me learn what they're doing as well. So a coach to coach the coach.
That's amazing. Lots of coaching.
Yeah.
So where would you recommend someone starts with that? If they potentially can't get as much coaching as you've got, and they don't have access to that, those same resources, where would you recommend starting?
I would start by mentoring somebody in your business. So if you want to get, if you want to get experience of supporting somebody, then you could look to a new starter and you can help them to ramp. You can find where they're struggling and offer a hand. And ultimately, you learning by trial and error of what's working for them is going to help you to develop these key skills that you need in order to coach other people. And then sort of vice versa as well. You can ask somebody in your company to mentor you or sort of buddy up, and in that way you can learn from them how they're helping you and how you can sort of use that to develop your skills as well.
Okay, I love that. That's really good. So lots of, I think the focus that obviously you have as an organization on personal development, I think is, you know, is probably the gold standard for what other teams should be doing. And I think that's why as a company you were in such a good position to go out and run this survey, which I want to go into. And for me, one of the biggest takeaways in that survey was talking about how reps, there was a lack of coaching, but also the fact that reps weren't feeling fulfilled. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. And for those reps that aren't being fulfilled or feeling fulfilled, what do you think SDR managers or leaders can do in the business to address that, and where should they start?
So there was a correlation with SDRs who didn't feel fulfilled in their role and facing challenges such as having targets that they're struggling to achieve, a lack of coaching, and burnout. And all of these things go hand in hand. If you have somebody there who's dedicated to you and your success, then they're gonna feel supported to achieve those targets. They're getting the coaching that they crave, and also burnout's gonna decline because they are feeling more fulfilled. And I understand that it is difficult to dedicate time to coaching consistently. A really great place to start is working on team coaching. So can you dedicate an hour and a half of your week to coaching your team? And it doesn't always need to be led by you. Like, I've had great coaching sessions that have been led by other reps, and you can sort of work on people's development that way. If you have people who aspire to step into leadership positions, then what better way to set them up for success than being like, hey, why don't you take the group coaching session today? I can support you on finding a call and coaching it, but you can lead this session. And that's going to ultimately start on the right trajectory to providing your reps with what you want. You just need to be dedicated to that one time slot a week where you're getting the whole group together and working on development.
I love that. And that certainly overcomes, you know, when managers say, I don't have time. To me, it's one of the most frustrating things I hear when managers say, I don't have time. I was speaking to a company last year, and their VP of sales said, I don't think it should be my frontline managers that are coaching. I think that should be with enablement. And, you know, we got into a discussion about this. And I said, well, if your frontline managers aren't coaching and don't have the time to do coaching, enablement is so far away from, they need to be connected, but they are not nearly as close as your frontline managers are. And what are your frontline managers doing? And he said to me, my frontline managers are stepping in to close deals. And I was like, well, there's your problem. Mm-hmm. The only reason they're stepping in to close deals is because they don't, you know, they haven't had the training and ongoing coaching, so they feel confident and competent to do so. So it's a catch 22. So I guess what you're saying, if you do it as a team, you then no longer have the objection of, I don't have 6 hours a week to coach my reps for an hour each. It's one of the things that I see, even if it is in the diary, it gets cancelled though. Oh, something's come up. I've got a deal. I've got to speak to a prospect, or I've got a demo. And so I think it's about elevating the importance of it as well. It's not an optional meeting. It's one that And everyone needs to come excited to it as well. People can't turn up dreading it and thinking, oh God, I've got my coaching session again. Oh, can we? Oh no, let me just book a prospect call over it. So I think part of it is about, you know, elevating the importance and, you know, putting the why behind it as well.
Totally. It's got to be mutual enthusiasm. And if it's something that keeps getting cancelled and keeps getting pushed back, as a rep, personally, I would feel undervalued if that kept happening to me, that my manager's not dedicating time to me personally, and I know that it's our time together that's getting pushed back. That would make me feel devalued. It would make me feel unfulfilled in my role, and I'd be looking elsewhere. I'd be looking for someone who would support me with that. So it is so important. I can't stress it enough.
Well, I think with what you just said, I think that I think we're seeing those sentiments in the survey, right? You know, managers aren't coaching. They aren't spending their time doing that. Reps are then feeling unfulfilled and underdeveloped. So I think that's exactly what you've uncovered in the survey. So when my sales coach got the survey and the results, out of interest, what did you do, if anything, differently as an SDR org and as a sales team, based on what you uncovered in the survey?
The survey was pretty grim in terms of the results of how unfulfilled SDRs felt. What it did show was some optimism that despite some of the many challenges that they face, 10%, only 10% of the SDRs who completed the survey said that they wouldn't be working in sales in 5 years' time. So the good news is that the SDRs that on the whole that are here at the minute, not here within my sales coach, but here within the world, are here to stay. So it's about making sure that they feel fulfilled. And the results showed that if they're gaining access to frequent and high quality coaching, then they are much more likely to stay at their current company and feel fulfilled in their role. So at my sales coach, we have weekly coaching either with me as an SDR team lead or our head of sales. Then we drink our own champagne. We all have our own personal sales coaches. I personally have a sales coach who is another female who's worked in sales, who has been super successful, whose career is ultimately one to aspire to. And she's helped me massively, one with working on motivation for the team and helping them to feel supported. So I'm taking responsibility as a team lead, but also working on my skills and development. But that's available to our team as well. So they have their own personal sales coaches. They have group coaching whenever they want it. And we have full team sales coaching as well, fortnightly. And that's super important because it bridges the gap between the SDR and the AE team. We can see what's working. We can develop our own discovery skills so that any SDRs with aspirations of jumping into that team have that visibility and we're working well. We feel like it's not like juniors and seniors. It's a team who are working together for a common goal, which is just great.
I love that. That's really good. And I mean, it sounds like the biggest focus that as an organization you've put on is what coaching your team have access to. And it was what you were saying about the fact that is so linked to the mindset, the burnout and all of that. And I'm hoping that there are companies out there that have read the survey and actually it's given them food for thought. Often, you know, with surveys like this, I think the most important thing is like, how do we take action? Because like you say, it was a little bit grim. Some of the stats were scary. But I think that's good. And we'll definitely link the survey to this podcast as well. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, that they can have a look at as well. So last question, and we like to end all of our podcasts with it, but I'm going to slightly change it for you because one of the things you've talked about is creativity in outreach. Mm-hmm. What's one piece of outreach that you or someone in your team has done that really does sort of cut through the noise and you'd say is you know, probably the most creative that, that you've seen or done?
So I'm going to bang my own drum for this one. I set up a TikTok account last year, and putting ego to aside, because it has definitely not blown up, I am not a TikTok influencer, but what it has done, it's given me a new channel to interact with people who I might not necessarily have found in your usual prospecting ways. It's easier to have a conversation with them because it's less crowded in terms of people who are prospecting on TikTok. And it's allowed me to be super creative with content sharing and lead generation. And some of the leads that I've generated through TikTok have ended up closing. So it just shows that if you put that bit of effort into a different channel that people aren't utilizing at the minute, then you're going to get results. So I'm here for TikTok. I'll see you over there.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I'm not sure I'm cool enough for TikTok, but I would love to see some of the content that you are, that you're doing. That's amazing that that's come as a, you know, that's closed business for you as well. So well done, and great to hear that you've you found a channel that's less noisy. But Nia, it's been absolutely amazing having you. You've been incredible, and I'm sure that anyone who's listened to this has taken away a lot, and hopefully you know, you've drilled down the importance of coaching. So for people who want to connect with you, if they haven't done already, what's the best way to find you and connect with you apart from TikTok? But I'm sure apart from TikTok.
That is Nia in sales, by the way, anybody who's over there. Best way to connect with me is on LinkedIn. It's Nia Hollywood House. Or my email is nia@mysalescoach.com. Would love to connect and chat.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Nia. It's been fab. Thank you.